He says, I'm not to Mitzrayim. I'm a Yid. I learn Torah and do mitzvahs. And by a Yid and Torah mitzvahs, there's tznius. You don't do whatever you want, and you don't kiss whoever you want, and you don't marry whoever you want. There's certain rules in the Torah, the way a Yid acts and the Yid behaves, and this is not tzniistic. So leave me alone, and I'm not going to do what you're saying, because it's not according to the Torah. And she says, who's going to see anyway? Who's going to find out anyway? Nobody's home. Yosef says, oh yeah, somebody's home. Hashem is home. Hashem is always home. Potiphar's wife looks around. Nobody's home. Everyone went to the party. What do you mean Hashem is home? Which room does Hashem live in? I don't know who Hashem is. I know we have different servants, and we have different slaves and different people, and we have kids, but nobody's named Hashem over here. Or maybe it's a new servant. What room is he in? Yosef says, he's in every room. What? Every room? What do you mean every room? Nobody has so many rooms. And Yosef says, Hashem is everywhere. In every room is Hashem. Now, in Potiphar's house was a getchke in every room. And she says, oh yeah, the getchkes, yeah. I'll take a blanket and I'm going to cover over the getchke. He's not going to see. And she goes over, she runs and gets a blanket, and she throws it over the getchke. She says, look, Hashem can't see now because there's a blanket over his head. He can't see anything. And Yosef says, Hashem is not a getchke. You can't put a blanket over Hashem's head. And he can see through a blanket anyway. So what are you doing? And she says, okay, enough talk. That's it. And she starts chasing after him. And Yosef starts running away. And she runs very fast. And she grabs his shirt. He gets away, and she rips off the shirt, and he runs away out the door. And now Potiphar's wife, she saw she couldn't get Yosef to give her a kush, and he wouldn't want to marry her. And she got very angry at Yosef, and her face turned red. And she decided she's going to get Yosef in big trouble now. She's going to get Yosef back for not doing what she wants. She was also spoiled. She gets what she wants. She doesn't get what she wants, she gets very upset. Like a baby. A baby doesn't get what it wants, it gets very upset. And so, Kinalach, after the party, and after the river parties, and after all the things were over from the Goyish Yontif, Potiphar and his kids and his servants and all the people from his house that came home. Oh, what a party! Hooray, did we have fun! Oy, what a goyish yantiv! And he comes home, and Potiphar's wife is over there in the house screaming, oh, did I have a bad day! Oh, did I have a bad day! Oh, what a terrible day did I have! Ah! And Potiphar says, what's wrong, wife? What happened? And what's that shirt you're holding in your hand? And she says, you know that servant Yosef, that slave that you bought in the marketplace? He did a terrible thing and he should be punished. What did he do? He tried to run after me and he wanted to kiss me and he wanted to marry me. And I said, no. And my husband Potiphar, he'll get upset. And he kept on saying, let's come on, you give me a kiss, and marry me. And I said, no, leave me alone. And he started chasing me until I tried to get away. And as I was trying to get away from him, I ripped off his shirt, and he got scared, and he ran out. Now, is that the truth, or that's a big fat lie?
A big fat lie!
It's a big fat lie, but she only did it. She made up a lie to get Yosef in trouble. And Potiphar thinks about Yosef, what he did, and his face turned red. And he got very angry. And Potiphar was angry, and he wants to punish Yosef. So what does he do? He gets the guards from the jail. After all, he was the officer of the jail. And the guards of the jail hunted all around Mitzrayim until they found Yosef. And now they put Yosef in the jail. The jail was called a boyer, a pit, a big hole in the ground. In those days, the jail was a big hole in the ground, and the criminals were thrown into the hole in the ground, and that was the jail. And Kinalach, Yosef was put into the jail. You know how long Yosef was in jail? For 12 years. For 12 years, Yosef was in the jail. He gets into the jail for something he didn't do. Sure enough, Kinalach, since Yosef was a tzaddik, everyone saw after a while Yosef was special. He wasn't like the other criminals. And in fact, he used to help the other men and be nice to them. And everybody in the jail began to like Yosef. They saw he was a good man. He was nice to everybody, always had a good word, a smile, helped people. And Yosef became one of the leaders of the jail, one of the leading as far as the people that are in the jail. And everybody liked Yosef. Now one day, Kinalach, this was 10 years after he was in jail. All of a sudden, two new men were thrown into the jail. But they were not dressed up in regular clothes like the other people. They were thrown in uniforms, fancy schmancy uniforms. Uniforms from Paroi's servants and Paroi's officers, with shiny buttons and shiny shoes and fancy pants and many colors. One of them was the Saramashkim, the officer of Paroi's wine and drinks. And the other one was the Sara Oifim, the baker of Paroi's bread and cookies and cakes and nash. And they asked them, "What are you doing in jail? You're officers of Paroi." And the Sara Mashkim is crying and he says, "Oi, it was Paroi's birthday party. Paroi was making a big birthday party for all of his friends. And they gave him presents. And Paroi was singing songs, and he had his fancy hat on top of his crown. He was having a good time. And then Paroi got thirsty. When Paroi gets thirsty, he needs a drink, but he doesn't pour his own drink. He's a king. A king doesn't pour his own drink. He's got an officer to pour his drinks. So he called me. He says, 'Saramashkim, I'm thirsty.' I come to Paroi. What would Paroi like? Juicy? Wine? What would the Paroi like? Oh, I would like some wine. Give me wine." And I ran to get the wine for Paroi, and I poured it into Paroi's special becher. And I come to Paroi, and I bring him, of course, a plate with a napkin, and very nice, and I give him his cup, and I make sure it's very clean and very nice and shiny. And I give it to Paroi in his hand. And now I'm pouring the wine into Paroi's cup from my bottle. And right before Paroi lifts it up to his mouth, a little fly was flying in the air, and it landed in Paroi's cup right by where he was going to drink the wine. In his cup, right where his mouth was going to go to drink the wine, there was a fly. And Paroi looked down at the fly, and he started to scream, "Hey, there's a fly! A fly is in my cup! Why did you put a fly in my cup?" And I said, "Paroi, I didn't put a fly in your cup. I poured you the cup of wine, and the fly flew in by himself." Paroi said, "You gave me a cup of wine with a fly. That's a terrible thing to do to the king. You will be punished for this." And he started to scream, "Take him to the jail. I don't want him to be my Saramashkim. I'll get a new Saramashkim." And they took the Saramashkim to the jail, Kinalach, and they put him in the jail. Now, the Sara Oifim said, "This is what happened to me. for Pare's birthday party, I baked a big, beautiful birthday cake and cookies and cakes and fancy breads and rolls and bagels and all kinds of good stuff for Pare's birthday. I was working so hard in the kitchen day and night. I think so. That's good. That's good. Good boy, Chikul. And the Sara Oifim says, I was working day and night in the kitchen, baking and making sure Pare had plenty of chocolate and plenty of nuts and plenty of sprinkles and plenty of icing, like Pare likes a lot of icing, and gooey cakes and sweet, delicious cakes. And everything is going to be with smiling faces and clowny faces, like Pare likes on his cookies, with clowny faces and smiling faces. And little pictures all over everything. And I made Pare all kinds of fancy things with roses and flowers. Pare likes to play with them and eat the icing with the flowers and the roses and all the dancing animals and everything. And I was so careful. But then, Kenalach, what happened? Pare took one of the cookies. His favorite cookie with a smiling clowny face on it. And Pare says, this is my favorite cookie. And he took a bite. And all of a sudden he says, Oh, my tooth. And he took out of his mouth a rock. A little stone. Look, in the cookie was a little stone, a little rock. And the Sara Oifim says, I don't know how it got there, Pare. I thought it was a cookie with a clowny face like you like. I didn't know there was a rock in there. Pare said, didn't you sift the flour before you baked the cookie for me? Didn't you take the flour into that special thing to make sure that it was nice and smooth and there was no lumps in it and no rocks in it? And the Sar HaOifim, the baker officer, said, I forgot. I was in such a hurry. I had so many things to bake. I had so many cakes to bake, and so many bagels to bake, and so many donuts to bake, and so many cookies to make, and so much icing to make, and so many clowny faces to make. I forgot to clean the flour for all the things that I made, and I didn't have enough time. I'm sorry, Pare, please forgive me. I'm sorry. And Pare says, I hurt my tooth on a rock in my favorite clowny cookie. I'm not going to let that off so easily. Into the jail with you. And they threw the Sar HaOifim in jail. And so can Allah, the Sara Mashkim, and the Sara Oifim. This is how they got in jail. And they were in jail. And Yosef also became friendly to them, as he did to the other prisoners, always seeing what he could do for them, if he could help them, and of course, in any way possible, teaching them about Hashem, and to tell them that someday, just trust Hashem, he'll get you out of here, and things will be better for you. You don't have to be upset and sad all the time being in jail. Hashem will help and you get out. One day, Yosef is walking in the jail in the morning. And he sees all of a sudden the Sara Mashkim, the Sara Efim, they're sitting there and they look very upset. Their faces look so upset. Yosef thinks to himself, looks like something is wrong with both of them. They look very, very upset about something. Let me go over and find out what's wrong. Maybe I can help them. I feel bad for them. So early in the morning, they look so upset. And he goes over to the Sara Oifim. He goes over to the Sara Oifim, the Sara Mashkim, and he says, what's wrong? Looks like you're so upset. You want to talk about it? And they say, oh, Yosef, we were just talking amongst ourselves. We both had last night dreams. Very, very strong, powerful dreams. And we both feel the dreams mean something, but we don't know what the dreams mean. And Yosef says, you know what? Maybe you could tell me the dreams. Because Hashem is the one who gives the dreams, and Hashem is the one who knows what the dreams mean. Maybe Hashem will help me that I could be able to figure out in the Torah. Maybe I'll be able to figure out in some way, with Hashem's help, what your dreams mean. Or maybe they're just shtusim, they don't mean anything at all. Then you can forget about them. Well, Kinalach, the Sara Mashkim says to Yosef, I'll tell you my dream. I was at Paro's birthday party. And Paro is sitting on the throne, and Paro calls me to give him to drink wine at his birthday party. I was so happy to be by Paro's birthday party. And Paro says, I'm thirsty, I want wine. My Sara Mashkim, come here. And I came to Paro. But instead of a bottle of wine, I was holding three branches with three clusters of grapes, three bunches of grapes on branches. And instead of pouring from a bottle of wine, I was squeezing the grapes, and wine was falling out of the grapes into Paro's cup. This was my dream. I don't know what it means. And now the Sara Oifim says, and I'll tell you my dream, Yosef. It was also Paro's birthday, and I was carrying three baskets on my head. Each basket was full of cakes and cookies and bagels and donuts and rolls, all kinds of good stuff that I baked from my kitchen for Paro's birthday, and I was carrying the three baskets on top of my head. All of a sudden, a big birdie came down on my head, and on the baskets and on the cake and the rolls and cookies, and started to eat everything up. And I was screaming, stop, birdie! I baked this stuff for Paro's birthday, stop eating it! And of course the birdie wouldn't listen, and he kept eating it, and he kept breaking it, and he kept eating it all up. And I was so upset. And that's when I woke up from my dream. Kinalach, Yosef thought for a while, and he told him, I know what your dreams mean with Hashem's help. Hashem has put in my head what your dreams mean. Are you sure you want me to tell you? Oh, of course. Tell us. Please go ahead, Yosef. Tell us the dreams, what they mean. And Yosef first turns to the Sara Mashkim and he says, the three branches mean 3 days. Each branch is a day. In 3 days is going to be Paro's birthday again. Oh, that's right. Right, in 3 days is Paro's birthday. You're right, it's only 3 days away. Well, in 3 days, you are going to be back to Paro, back near his throne, and he's going to make you his Sar HaMashkim again. He's going to forgive you and take you out of the jail. Why will he forgive you? He'll realize that the fly was not your fault. You poured the wine, you did everything that you could do, and the fly came in by himself. It had nothing to do with you. And Paro is going to realize that, and he is going to want you back at his new birthday party, and you're going to pour his wine. And the Sara Mashkim said, oh goody, I'm so happy! I get to go back to pour Paro's wine in the palace. And the Sara Aifim says, oh boy, and I get to go back to the kitchen and bake Paro his clowny cookies, right? And Yosef says, well, not so fast. I'm going to have to tell you your dream also. The three baskets are 3 days. Just like in the other dream, the three branches are 3 days. In 3 days is going to be Paro's birthday again. But Paro is going to remember you also. And he's going to think about the rock that was in his cookie, and he's going to get even more angry than before. He's going to say, look, the rock was your fault. You should have cleaned the flour. That was something that you could have prevented. You could have stopped that from happening. And Pari's going to say, my baker was not careful when he baked my cookies and my cakes to make the flour clean, and there was a rock over there and I hurt my tooth. I'm going to get him back for it. Jail wasn't enough. And he's going to have you killed. And you're going to be hung on a tree. And the birds are going to come down from the sky as you're hanging on the tree, and they're going to eat you up. As you're hanging on the tree, certain kind of birds are going to come down and eat you up. And the Sarah Oivim heard that, and he was hoping maybe it's not going to be true. 3 days later, Kindalach, the trumpets started to blow. Paroi's guards are coming to the jail. Why are Paroi's guards coming to the jail? Paroi said that he wants to see the Sara Oifim, the Sara Mashkim, by his birthday party. And the Sara Mashkim and the Sara Oifim got ready to go out of the jail. Paroi said, Yosef said to the Sara Mashkim, you're going to see the dream will come true, just like I said. Try, when you go to Paroi, to remember me and mention me to Paroi, because maybe since I helped you and I told you what your dream means, maybe you'll be able to help me to get out of jail. And maybe Paroi will let me out of jail. Please try to remember and do something to help me get out of jail. And the Sara Mashkim said, oh, of course, I promise, don't worry. You were so nice to me, you told me what my dream means. I hope it's going to come true now, and if it does, I'm certainly going to thank you, and I promise I'm going to tell Paroi about you, and you'll get out of jail. I promise. Thank you, says Yosef. They took the Sara Oifim, the Sara Mashkim, to Paroi's palace, and when they got in, they took the Sara Mashkim, and they said, put on the new uniform, you're going to be the Sara Mashkim again for Paroi. He wants you to pour his cup of wine today by the birthday party. And the Sara Mashkim was so happy. But the man was only carrying one uniform. And the Sara Oifim says, where's my uniform? Aren't I going to be the Sara? Where is my uniform? Am I going to go to the kitchen again and bake and be the Sara Oifim? And the man over there shook his head and he says, no. There's a different uniform for you. And he took a big rope. And the executioners came, and they took the Sara Oifim in front of Paroi, and Paroi pointed his finger, and he says, hang him on the tree. He was responsible for the stone, for the rock being in my cookie. And they took the Sara Oifim, and they hanged him on a tree until the birdies came down and ate him up, just like Paroi, just like Yosef had said. Exactly the same way that Yosef had said the dreams would come true. But Kinalach, the end of Parshas Vayeshev is that the Sara Hamashkin, instead of remembering Yosef, forgot all about him, and he did not mention him to Paroi. He didn't say anything at all. All of his promises were forgarnished. He forgot Yosef, and he didn't remember him, and he didn't mention him to Paroi. All right, you hear? I want you to listen to this. The Rebbe once said a very interesting thing, and you can learn a very big lesson from this thing. The Rebbe said that sometimes you do a little thing, and you think it's like a nothing, but you had a good feeling and you did it because you wanted to do the right thing. From this little thing can end up a very big, big mitzvah that you never thought would happen. Now look what happened over here. Later on, as we know, from this whole maisa, Yosef is going to save the whole world from hunger. Because later on, because of the dreams and the Sara Oifim, and he's going to remember Yosef and tell Paroi about him, and Paroi is going to call Yosef, and Paroi has dreams and Parshas Miketz, and Paroi is going to call Yosef, and Yosef will tell Pharaoh the dreams, and in the end, the world is saved from hunger. How did it begin? It began because Yosef is walking in a jail, a Talmudic place. He sees two goyim that are upset. And he could say, two goyim in jail, who cares? And he didn't say that. He says, look, two people, two human beings created by Hashem are upset about something, even though they're not even Jews. But he had a feeling to go and say, what's wrong? From that little feeling and that little mitzvah to go and make people feel a little bit better, even though they weren't even yidden, from this came out in the end, he saved the whole world from hunger. And what if he would have never gone to the two goyim? And he would have never heard about their dreams? Would he have gone to Paroi? Would he have gotten out of jail? Would he have told Paroi his dreams? No. So in other words, it starts from a little thing that you say, you know what? I'm going to do the right thing that Hashem would like. There's two people upset. Let me go see if I can help them. Maybe I could do something to help them feel better. From that came out such a big mitzvah.
Okay. Now, Parshas Miketz. One night in Mitzrayim, Paroi is asleep in his pajamas in his bed. And he has a dream. He sees that he is by the river, the Nilus. And he's just sitting there watching the river. All of a sudden, coming out of the river, out of the water, there is a big, fat cow coming out of the river. And then another big, fat cow. Beautiful, fat cow. And then a third one, and a fourth one, and a fifth one, and a sixth one, and a seventh one. Seven fat cows standing right there next to the river. They came out of the river. And Paroi sees such a thing in his dream, in his pajamas. He thinks to himself, imagine cows coming out of a river. And they're so beautiful and fat and good-looking cows, such nice-looking cows. Then all of a sudden, there comes out of the river a skinny, ugly cow. Oh, Paroi says, look at that cow. He is so skinny. Look at his bones sticking out. He looks like skin and bones and a little bit of cow. Skin and bones and a little bit of cow. And then comes out a second cow and a third cow and a fourth cow and a fifth cow and a sixth cow and a seventh skinny cow. Seven skinny cows all together standing next to the river, next to the seven fat cows. All the cows standing together by the river. Look at that. Look how many cows. And all of a sudden, the seven skinny cows open up their mouths very wide. And they go over to the seven fat cows. And with their big mouths open wide, they swallow up the seven fat cows. Each skinny cow swallowed up a fat cow. And then Paroi sees that the skinny cows remain skinny. They stayed as skinny as before. And he thinks to himself, hey, wait a minute. If that skinny cow who ate that big fat cow, shouldn't he get fat? Boy, did he eat a lot. But he stayed skinny. Then Paroi woke up and he saw that it was all a dream, but he remembered his dream. And Paroi was holding his head and he's schwitzing and he's shaking and he says, ooh, what a dream I had. Whoa. I don't have such dreams. Ever. Did I ever have such a dream like that? I dream about all kinds of things, but not that. That was such a strong dream. I want to remember that. Maybe it means something. Well, Paroi was tired because he had a big day that day, and so he wanted to go back to sleep. Paroi put his head down on his pillow and pulled up his quilt over his head and went back to sleep. And all of a sudden, Paroi had a second dream, a different dream.